And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Kevin Ingram and David Janes here with you on this Friday morning. The great Kevin Ingram here with us today on the program. Kevin, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. There we go. How does this thing work? I'm doing great, Robbie. Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it. Boy, you and Joe do a fantastic job. And I hear you guys time to time. And I don't know that I'll have the insider information that Rex Road has.
It's probably
good. I'll do my best to hold the fort down over here. But it's great
people,
to be here.
Just don't try to replicate Rex Road. A lot of bad examples, bad habits that he's setting over there. We're really excited to have you. I appreciate you saying that. And I grew up listening to you, so this is a treat for me.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate that. And we had a lot of fun for a lot of years. And looking forward to being here and seeing David, too. I feel like I know David. I email and correspond with him a lot, especially during our sports seasons at Vanderbilt. But I put a face with the name, so that's great as well.
Yep, Kevin Ingram now with Vanderbilt Athletics. And speaking of that, we're going to get into some Vanderbilt Athletics and some Vanderbilt football a little bit later in the show. We got a lot to get to today here on the program. Jared Stillman dropping by at 7 o'clock to join us. Teron Davenport at 8 o'clock. We'll get into the Nicholas Petit-Frere suspension with him. We're going to get into that throughout the show today. Take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025, our phone number on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We begin with the Nashville Predators. And, Kevin, the draft here in Nashville, Predators finished it out yesterday. They have 11 picks in this year's draft. So there was some maneuvering that took place yesterday. 11 picks in the draft yesterday for the Preds. And, obviously that's a lot of picks to have, and we'll see what that looks like. Most of these guys aren't going to be factors for a little while here. So that's the difference between the NFL draft and the NHL draft. Sometimes these guys are 2, 3, 4 years away from actually being contributing members of the team. But really the big story at the end of yesterday's draft is the David Poile era here in Nashville is now officially over, and Barry Trotz is stepping in and now will officially be the general manager. So, look, Barry Trotz has been operating as the general manager the past few months here, but David Poile's tenure officially coming to an end. And, Kevin, you've been around the Predators for a long time. You've been around David Poile. You've been around Barry Trotz during his time with the Predators as head coach. What do you make of, I guess, the career for David Poile, and now that it officially is coming to an end as general manager with the Predators, the idea of Barry Trotz stepping in as GM?
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I mean, do they have like an official handing off? Is there like a suitcase with a handcuff and all that? That has the draft boards inside and that sort of thing. It was really neat to see all the things that were done for David Poile during the course of the draft. Even going back to Wednesday night, you saw a number of teams when they went to the podium would say something, especially the Washington Capitals, which was his place before he came here for so many years. There is not a classier guy in hockey or maybe in sports than David Poile. He's done a terrific job here for a long time. I haven't been around covering the Predators in a while, but any dealings I ever had with him were totally positive. He's as patient as it gets, and you know this from talking to him. You can ask him basically anything. He'll give you an explanation the best he can or as much as he can say. And with any career for a general manager, you're going to have hits. You're going to have misses. That's just the way it is. That comes with the territory. But he's had way more hits than misses over his time here. I think he's just done a terrific job. And to have that kind of staying power for that many years in that kind of position is just remarkable. So I wish David all the best. And again, it was neat to see how many people said something about him. And then he made that last pick yesterday, Aiden Fink, after they got the pick, 218 from the Devils from Tom Fitzgerald, who was the Predators' first captain. They gave up, I think, a seventh rounder for next year, and then David made that final selection. I got to wonder kind of what he was thinking at that point as that announcement was made, but it was really neat. A lot of great stuff, and wish David and his family all the best as he steps away from this role after a lot of very successful years with the Preds.
Yep, no question about it. Well said, and he's going to continue to be around and an advisor to Barry Trotz as he steps into this role. And now, Kevin, the really interesting part of this, I think, begins for Barry Trotz, because we've known him so long as a coach. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame coach. He's going to go in the Hall of Fame one day as a coach. He's like the third or fourth winningest coach in the history of the National Hockey League. He's got a Stanley Cup, all those things. And now he's stepping into a new challenge as general manager. And like I said, he's been a guy that has made decisions. It was him that was trading Ryan Johansson last week. It was him that had a pretty big say in what they did at the trade deadline. So it's not like he's not been doing anything to this point, but now that you're officially the guy and you're stepping in with free agency coming up tomorrow, I don't know how active the Predators are going to be on that, but the job in front of Barry Trotz is really interesting based on where this team is. They're in a bit of a transition, a rebuild, retool, whatever words you want to use, but certainly a transition for the Predators as Barry Trotz steps into this thing. And what's fascinating to me about it is we know what Barry Trotz is as a coach. I don't think we yet know exactly what he is as a general manager, and I'm really excited to see what that looks like.
I am too, and to see what his vision is for this franchise in the years ahead. Can they reload and retool without really tearing the whole thing down? You certainly have some excellent pieces to build around. We talk about, you know, a goaltender like Juuse Saros, and you got Roman Josi, who's a fantastic player, and you got some really talented young players. You're bringing in Andrew Brunette, another one of the original Predators, as head coach. And that was Barry Trotz's move, too, to make that coaching change. Yep. And just to see what kind of different energy that might bring the whole thing. And I was almost like making the joke in my head that, like, well, if Barry Trotz and David Poile are doing the draft, it's going to be all defensemen in this draft.
That's right.
but it's funny to see how, you know, Barry's evolved during his time as a coach too. And, you know, you have to have an offensive way of thinking. And I think that's a lot of what's going to go into how this team and franchise is built in the coming years. And you sort of see what they did in the draft. I'll ask you to go over all 11 selections. We're going to break them all down next hour. But you just don't know what you get in these draft situations, do you? Because you take these guys, and Robbie, as you said, they're a couple years at least, for the most part. Now, the guys at the top of the draft are probably going to be contributors very quickly, but in a lot of cases, these guys are 5 years away from you really knowing what kind of contributors are going to be for your franchise. But I'm excited about seeing Barry in that role, seeing him back here, another of the great guys you'll meet in sports. I really got to know him over, you know, not just the time that he was coach, but the 1 year in 2004-05 when there was a work stoppage and there wasn't any hockey for a year. And I worked a couple of charity events and was there with Barry and got to talk to him a little more about stuff more than just hockey. And he is just a great guy and really fascinating to speak with. But, he has a big job ahead of him. We'll see how he does as a general manager after just a fantastic run as a head coach.
And the draft, you know, he gets through the draft, and there's all this talk heading into it about will the Predators trade up? How aggressive will they be at the draft? And I think it's clear that they tried to move up, tried to get into the top five. And that's the thing. When you're trying to get in the top five, it's going to take a lot to get those teams to budge, and those teams weren't willing to budge. So now, you know, the next phase of the offseason begins for Barry Trotz. And, you know, the interesting part to me, Kevin, is really from the time that Barry Trotz was hired as general manager, they've gone through this transition with him and David Poile. They've talked to the fan base, and the message has been, you're going to have to be patient. Like, this is going to be a process of probably not going to be a team that's a quote-unquote a Stanley Cup contender next year. I mean, you got to figure out what some of the young guys look like. They had a lot of really impressive young players at the end of last season come in and play well. Now, what does that mean for next year over the course of a full 82-game season? What, you know, in what shape will the roster be in terms of how aggressive will they be in free agency? Are there veteran players that they want to bring in? Are there trades that come about? But I feel like, you know, Barry Trotz is a guy that, number one, he knows the stability here in Nashville with the franchise of – they don't make a whole lot of changes, so they're going to give him some time to execute his vision. And number two, Barry Trotz has never really been a guy to rush things, and I don't expect him to rush this with the general manager job and piecing together this team, trying to get him back to being a Stanley Cup contender.
Yeah, it's a really big job. And you know, you talk about trying to find the mix of veteran guys and young players, and that young group, I mean, they almost got him into the playoffs last year. They came up just short. But do you want to add too many veteran guys when you're trying to develop young players? You just sort of pick and choose a few veterans that you might bring in on a free agent deal that's user-friendly and can be good mentors for players coming up through the ranks. So I think that part of it is really interesting, too.
Yep, it's going to be fascinating to see how that plays out. 11 total selections for the Predators in the draft being held here in Nashville. We talked about the first rounders yesterday. They did get a centerman yesterday early in the second round in Felix Nilsson. So he's a Swedish guy. Philip Forsberg was on the phone with him after. So we'll see what he looks like. But getting that position figured out, I mean, they've had David Legwand over the years, and he was a good player. Ryan Johansson was a good player. They traded for Peter Forsberg back in 07, and he was here for 17 games or whatever it was, and he was really good at the time. But they've never had
everybody that. Got Crocs, though. You remember that?
I do remember that. But nobody – they've never had anybody at the height of their powers that is that true, dominant number one guy. And that's what Barry Trotz has to figure out. And that's going to be, I think, a large part of what determines his successes or failures as a GM is getting that guy, because – that's the way the game is going. You need guys like that to win a cup.
You really do, and those guys are hard to come by.
They are.
You know, and if you get one, you got to lock them down and try to make sure that you have them for the long term. But, yeah, there's a reason there aren't many of those out there, those top-quality centermen or wingers that can really put the points on the board. But it feels like in today's NHL, I mean, you have to have some guys who can score some – I mean, it goes without saying, you got to have some guys who can score some goals, but it feels like it's becoming more of an offense-oriented game. I mean, you would know better than I do being around it a little closer, but it's not score a couple goals and unlock it down like it used to be. It feels like the game's becoming more high-flying than it used to be.
Yep, got to open things up for sure, and that's going to be the plan for the Predators as they move forward here. We are off and running today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We will take your thoughts all show long on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. The great Kevin Ingram in for Joe Rexro today. Take your thoughts on that as well. Coming up next, some bad news for the Tennessee Titans yesterday at a position group that they really can't afford to have many losses. They got one already for the first six games. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. You gotta learn to play it right. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Presented by TJ Anderson, Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team today to see why they're referred to so often. Robbie Stanley alongside Kevin Ingram, David Janes here with you.
Well done, David. Yeah, that is well done for sure.
Thank you. I knew I was going to play this as soon as I got here.
Very well done. We got a song that is very fitting for that that we'll get into here in just a second. But, Kevin, you did talk about this, and I agree. Like, now that the draft is over for the Preds, it was yet another example of the city, the Predators. We saw it with the NFL draft, too, when the Titans were here. Putting on a pretty spectacular show over the weekend and throughout this week.
You give this town a big event, we're going to do it right. It looked great on TV, that was for sure. I wanted to go down there and check some of it out in person to maybe see a couple of the music acts down on Broadway. But, yeah, it looked fantastic. You have a draft in our town, it's going to look great. And it was just really neat and a cool scene. And yeah, you think about that NFL draft, it feels like that was like 10 years ago.
I know.
It was before COVID, but that scene will never be duplicated in any sports draft, what happened with the NFL draft here a few years ago.
Yep, and I would imagine at some point in the not-too-distant future, the NFL would probably be interested in coming back here and doing that again.
I think so, probably so.
So I think we'll see that pretty soon. The Tennessee Titans, as we know, Kevin, have revamped their offensive line, and there are a lot of question marks about that offensive line heading into the season, to the point where Joe and I have discussed before, they really can't afford a whole lot of injuries anywhere. The offensive line would be one where it would be really bad. Of course, the wide receiver room as currently constructed would be maybe the place where it would be the worst if there are some injury problems. But you need your starters to be available and to play. And now we know that at least one starter not going to be available for the first six games of the season coming up this year. Nicholas Petitfrere yesterday suspended six games by the NFL for gambling. Now, he did not gamble on the NFL. You know, we've seen that and what that looks like and the Isaiah Rodgers situation in Indianapolis. Calvin Ridley last year getting suspended for gambling on the NFL. So Nicholas Petitfrere did not gamble on the NFL. But he did gamble at the Titans facility, and because of that, he is now suspended six games. He talked and released a statement to ESPN yesterday, said, quote, "I want to apologize to my family, coaches, teammates, and the Titans fans. I've always strived in every stage of my life to follow the rules. I did not knowingly break the rules. Even after attending a league presentation, I was unaware about the specifics and placing bets from a team facility. I will do everything in my power to help the team during training camp, and will be prepared when I return to the roster during the season." It's part of what Nicholas Petitfrere had to say yesterday. So, obviously, this is very bad news for the Tennessee Titans. The first six games of their schedule, I mean, you can make an argument, the first seven are probably the most challenging part of their schedule, just at least on paper heading into the year. and now they're not going to have what will be their starting right tackle for the first six games. And, Kevin, yet another example of the gambling problem and I guess the gambling situation or issue that the NFL is trying to police and trying to figure out, because this has been a big storyline this offseason in the NFL.
Yeah, David played the gambler coming out of the break there, and I was trying to think of a line from that song that fits. Every hand's a winner and every hand's a loser is maybe one that would go right here. This is a big problem for the Titans. It was not a good day yesterday for the offensive line. You're looking at a line that's lost some regular guys from the previous years. Taylor Lewan, Ben Jones, Nate Davis, all gone. Aaron Brewer is back. I think he's moving over to center. But after that, you have some very big question marks. Yep. And, guys that might be fine and good players. Peter Skoronski, the first-round pick, I think he's going to be a nice player for him. But, it's one of those position groups where you want to have that continuity and have guys who play together and build that chemistry. And him being gone for six games, we can get into whether the punishment fits the crime. That's a whole nother part of this. But that's bad news for the Titans, because, as you say, you look at these first six games: at New Orleans, Chargers at home, at Cleveland, Cincinnati here, at Indianapolis, and then over across the pond to play the Baltimore Ravens.
Yep.
That's a tough stretch of games. And really, any stretch of games, especially to start the season, is going to be difficult. But, That's difficult for the Titans right there to have one of the pieces off that offensive line gone. And, it jogged my memory a little bit thinking back to last year when that guy played all the time. He was a regular right tackle last season. So,
well, and it was up and down for him last year at right tackle, but he's a rookie, right? Yeah. I mean, you expect that to a certain degree. And what you're hoping for, if you're Vrabel, if you're the Titans, is, well, in year two as a starter, he takes a big jump. He solidifies the right tackle spot. I mean, he played okay at times last year, and then there were times where he looked like a rookie out there. But you're hoping in year two he comes in, he takes a big jump, and you don't have to worry about the right tackle side of things, because, I mean, you got an unproven guy at left tackle, too, with Andre Dillard coming in. He was drafted high, but he wasn't even a starter in Philadelphia. So there's all sorts of question marks anyway about the offensive line, and we know how bad it was last year with Dennis Daly and the turnstile that he was over there at left tackle after Taylor Lewan went down last year. So, I mean, conventional wisdom would tell you that the line would probably improve somewhat based on the moves that they've made, but now here you are before the season even begins and you're down a starting right tackle. And the other thing about that, Kevin, is, say what you will about Dylan Raidens. Obviously, it was a bad pick in the second round, and he's not lived up to that, but he's coming off a torn ACL. He's not going to be ready for the first six weeks of the year, so you don't have Petit Frere. You don't have Dylan Raidens available to you. You do have Jamarco Jones under contract. He didn't play at all for you last year. So what they're going to do now to try to fix this at right tackle is going to be pretty interesting to see. And we know that they're pursuing DeAndre Hopkins. But now, if you're Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel, do you have to look around and say, well, we need to go find a right tackle because our starting right tackle is out for six games?
Yeah, what do you do there? Do you spend money on a guy to plug in that spot, or do you roll with what you have for six games and save that money and spend it somewhere else?
Yeah.
If DeAndre Hopkins doesn't work out soon, does that change your thinking on this? I don't know what the answer is to that one. But, yeah, you threw out some of those names, and Jamarco Jones, he played, for Seattle for a few years. He was out there with the Seahawks. And Jalen Duncan, who's a sixth-round pick, is he going to be ready to plug in and, be that effective early on in his career? There are a lot of questions there. That's a big loss for this offensive line that, as you say, is retooling to begin with after some familiar names from previous years are gone.
And the question is, how damaging will it be? We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. How damaging will the loss of Nicholas Petit-Frere be for the first six games? You mentioned the punishment fitting the crime, and that's always an interesting discussion here, because the NFL has come down very hard on the gambling part of this so far. We know that, there are partnerships between the NFL and gambling companies. We know the money that's involved with all those things. And we also know that the last thing the NFL wants is to have a situation where the integrity of their game starts to be questioned and come into question with players, with officials, with coaches, whatever the case may be. So we saw Calvin Ridley get suspended for a year. Isaiah Rodgers of the Colts got suspended for a year. He got released by the Colts yesterday too. We've seen Jameson Williams in Detroit. He was doing the same thing. I mean, he was on the Lions Wi-Fi gambling on a different sport, and he got suspended for six games. I mean, they're obviously coming down really hard, to the point where, like, if you're if you're a coach, if you're somebody involved in an organization, like, you've got to be having meetings at this point and saying, hey, guys, just don't even download the app. It's no good that's going to come from you having a gambling app on your phone if you're an NFL player. Now, I look at this, Kevin, and I say, I mean, is it really that big of a deal that Nicholas Petitfrere was gambling on the team Wi-Fi if it had nothing to do with the NFL? Like, it's an extreme penalty for 6 games, in my opinion. But at the same time, I also realize, like, from the NFL's perspective, if you start to loosen up on some of that, you're playing a dangerous game, because what if somebody next time is gambling on the NFL and you don't catch it and all of a sudden that comes out? It's a really interesting situation of how to actually litigate this if you're the NFL in a way that's fair, but in a way that also sends a message to players not to do it.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of different elements, and you covered them all very well. Okay, for Petitfrere, what he did to me, I mean, he's not Pete Rose in here, okay?
No.
I mean,
yeah.
This to me doesn't seem like that huge of a deal, and the punishment seems harsh. I don't know that it fits the crime. And like, they gave him, like, okay, we're going to sit you for a game or two, but 6 games is a big chunk. I mean, you're talking about more than a third of the season for this guy to be suspended for this. But then there's the flip side of that, and that you have to, you know, you have to police it if you're the NFL. And if guys are betting on the NFL, then you got to shut them down. And I was thinking about, like, even in the jobs that I do, you know, working for Vanderbilt, not allowed to bet on sports, period. You know, I work for the Titans a little bit on game days, and they make it very clear what the rules are there.
Yep.
So for me, it's an easy thing. Like, I'm not, that's not really what I do, so I'm not really tempted in any way. But if it's legal, then yeah, you know, how do you look at that? And there are lots of things that are legal that you're not allowed to do in your job. And I heard the show before us, and they were making good points. It's like, okay, yeah, there are things we would like to do when we're in here doing a radio show, but we can't do them because that's part of the job, and those are the rules. So, yeah, how do you make it all fit together and come up with punishments that are appropriate for what the you know, what the offense might be? Again, you know, circling back to Petitfrere, I just don't know that 6 games. I don't know that that's appropriate for this. That seems a little harsh to me, but it is what it is.
Well, and you know, as people, and I knew we were going to get this, and we've already got it on the text line. I got a text that says it's half the suspension of the Deshaun Watson situation. It's unreal. And you know, we've talked about this, like the gambling part of this, you know, domestic violence, the Deshaun Watson situation. I mean, there's a lot of things where people look around and say, really? Like, you're giving somebody 6 games for gambling on the team's Wi-Fi that doesn't even have anything to do with the NFL, but you can't be harsher on some of these other things? But look, the NFL's made it clear. Like, the gambling part of this, they take incredibly seriously. I mean, it's been a very consistent theme of it to this point. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. What are your thoughts? Nicholas Petitfrere suspended for the first 6 games. How damaging is that to the Titans? What do you make of the suspension? Is it fair? Does it fit the crime? We'll take your thoughts on all those things. 615-737-1025. More coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Robbie Stanley, Kevin Ingram, David Janes here with you on this Friday morning. Chris on our text line says, love me some Ingram. Good to hear you again, Kev.
Oh, thank you.
Another texter that says, I can't believe I'm hearing that old familiar voice coming through my speakers. I was an everyday listener for 15 years and dearly miss hearing Kevin. Missing Mark and hoping Frank is doing well. Also hope Reed is doing well. Robbie, you're sitting next to a legend. Believe me, I'm aware.
I don't know about that. So these cameras that we're streaming, is that what you're telling me?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, good thing I took a shower. I don't think we needed streaming back when we were doing our show.
That could be dangerous.
I don't know if that would have been our friend or not.
You can see Kevin's beautiful face on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, everywhere you have your streaming app with us right now. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Taking your thoughts on Nicholas Petitfrere. He's suspended 6 games by the NFL for gambling at the Titans facility. Was not gambling on the NFL, but 6 games nonetheless. Cam on the text line says, my question is, if they are monitoring players gambling so much, Why do they not monitor the officials as well? They have just as big of an impact and could have more incentive to tilt a game. My guess would be they do monitor the officials.
I got to think they probably monitor the officials more than maybe anybody.
Yeah, I mean, just because obviously to this point, we've not seen a situation with the officials in the NFL, but I promise you they're monitoring the officials in gambling.
I would think so, too. So are we going to have like Robbie's best bets or something later on this show?
Might have to.
Yeah. David's best bets.
Looking
ahead to the weekend.
My best bet is Titans are screwed now.
Big time screwed.
Nicholas Petit-Frere.
David says take the under.
Take the under on wins.
Big under.
No, it's crazy. Like AB on the text line says, if Petit-Frere is dumb enough to do this, he should be released. He should have known better. And that is like, I'm not saying that he should be released, but at this point, Kevin, with the suspensions being what they are, and now I mean we're multiple guys into this now. I mean of people who have been suspended. Like if I'm a player, like I talked about it earlier, but it's just there's no good in having the gambling apps on your phone now. It's just at some point it's going to be a problem if you continue to do it. And I know it's easy to say, well, just don't bet on the NFL and don't bet on anything when you're on the team Wi-Fi. But you're better off, in my opinion, as long as you're playing in the NFL, just not doing it at this point to avoid situations like this.
Yeah, even though a six-game suspension seems harsh for this, for Petit-Frere, you know what the rules are, and claiming ignorance of the rules is not really a good excuse. They go over that stuff with you, and I got to think they're pretty thorough about what you can do and what you can't do. And even I think Mike Vrabel talked some about this at the end of minicamp, was asked some about it. And you sort of wonder if they knew at that point that this could be a possibility for Petit-Frere.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Mark in Nashville. Mark, good morning, buddy. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, how you doing, Robbie?
Good, buddy.
Well, I tell you, Kevin sounds just like Joe. I just cut the radio on. I thought Joe was back. I like
it. I'm not as smart as Joe.
Yeah, but you sound good, Kevin.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You sound just like Joe. I guess I'm going to make Kevin my guy, too, Robbie. You know, all y'all my guys anyway, man. So, but, Nicholas, like what y'all were saying a minute ago, Robbie, there's no excuse for that. I didn't think that – I'm like Kevin, I think the penalty's kind of harsh. But if you're seeing others getting caught doing it, common sense would tell you not to do it yourself. And I really, you know, I think, like I said, the penalty's harsh, but, hey, like Kevin was saying earlier, don't do it. Don't gamble. Don't download the app. Don't do any of that. But, hey, Rob, before I get ready to go, I want y'all to have a good weekend and stuff. And I know you got Steelman coming on at 7 o'clock, so I'm going to put it right back out there again, Steelman. I know you're listening. I'm waiting on my answer from you. I want to debate you. I'm not going to let this go. It's Friday. I want you to think about it.
That's right.
But, Robbie, you and Kevin, y'all have a good weekend, man.
You too, buddy. Appreciate you, Mark.
Thanks for the call.
Mark in Nashville, one of our favorite callers here on the program, has laid the challenge out to Jared Stillman to debate him. I hope Jared takes
I mean, is there a topic for this debate?
Or I think,
he'll debate.
I think he wants to generally debate him on life, maybe.
That could take a while.
That could. Looking forward to it. We will have Jared Stillman coming up at 7 o'clock. We'll get into the Nicholas Petit-Frere stuff with him as well. So, now the question is, Kevin, how damaging is this going to be to the Titans? Because this is a really interesting team to me anyway, heading into the season with Ryan Tannehill last year of his contract, Derrick Henry last year of his contract. They've drafted Will Levis. So, you know, Rand Carthon's come in as a new general manager. So you can see kind of the writing on the wall of where they're going here in terms of transitioning into a new era of Titans football. Having said that, you look at the AFC South. I don't think Houston's going to be very good. I don't think Indianapolis is going to be very good. Jacksonville should be. They're going to be the favorites heading into the year. But I looked at the rosters. I look at what both teams have done and the coaching stats, all these things. And the Titans, I think, have a chance to be competitive in the AFC South. They lost 7 in a row last year. And if you can stay healthy this year, hopefully you can avoid things like that. The schedule on paper outside of the first 6 or 7 games, which is now highlighted with its importance, is manageable. You got the NFC South as your other opponent if you're the Titans this year that you've got to deal with. So there are a lot of things about the Titans that I like on the defensive side of the football. There are a lot of question marks on the offensive side of the ball. And now you add this to it. I mean, it's just – it feels like the last thing that this team really needed in terms of what the impact is going to be on the field at that position, which already has so many question marks anyway, in a division that I still think, although they're not going to be the favorite heading into it, is very winnable for the Titans this year with Jacksonville and them. And unless one of these rookie quarterbacks in Houston or Indy just catch fire, I don't really think that they're going to be factors in the AFC South this year.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting year for this franchise. You know, the defense should be good enough to keep them in games, you would think. I mean, they got some really nice pieces over there. And if you have a defensive lineman like Jeff Simmons who can just wreck things, then that's a big plus. But on the offensive side of the ball, you have some position groups with some big question marks. The offensive line is one of them. Receiver is certainly one. Now, that could get a boost if DeAndre Hopkins happens. We don't know if that's going to happen or not. This situation yesterday developing for the offensive line was not good. Tannehill, to me, seems like their best option for quarterback. I thought they, I don't know that they had a lot of options, but that to me, going forward, at least for this season, seems like the right way to go. And you figure Derrick Henry is going to be Derrick Henry, but for that offense, the way it operates, if you want to run the football and pound people with Derrick Henry, it's always better to play from ahead and use him to just beat teams down to the finish line than to try to play from behind where he's not nearly as big of a factor. So that's where you have to have some development at receiver or some additions at that spot. It is a really interesting year when you look at the AFC South because, to me, there's a new sheriff in town, the Jacksonville Jaguars. They look like they're here to stay for a while. They got a good coach, after a few years of wandering around in that department. And they got the quarterback. They have some other pieces. They've done a good job in the draft. So that's the biggest obstacle to try to win this division. Now those other two teams, you might have a spot, a shot to win some games when you play those two four times. Talk about the Colts and the Texans, but I think overcoming the Jaguars is a big challenge for this team, going into 2023, and especially with some questions on the offensive side of the ball and what's certainly an offensive league these days.
Well, and you bring up Tannehill, and There were so many question marks about him heading into last year that, the Titans the year before, they had the one seed. He threw the three picks against Cincinnati. They traded A.J. Brown that offseason. And there were a lot of questions about Tannehill heading into last year and how he was going to respond, how he was going to play. And look, we've talked about this before, but the numbers that Tannehill put up last year, they're not going to blow anybody away. Now, I think the offensive situation was really bad. I mean, Robert Woods wasn't what they wanted him to be. Treylon Burks had flashes last year, but he wasn't healthy for a lot of the season. And the offensive line was terrible. And he was getting beat up, and ultimately he paid the price for it and got hurt. And that's the most concerning thing to me about the Petit Frere situation is, you're hoping to have solidified the offensive line to the point where you can stand back, Tannehill can have some time to deliver the football, and you can give your quarterback some time, which he just didn't really have last year, to pass the ball. And now you've got a situation at right tackle. And look, I have no idea how good Petit Frere was going to be in year two anyway. But now for the first six games, you're having to yet again kind of makeshift an offensive line in his absence. And how's that going to affect the protection? How's that going to affect the passing game and how much time that Tannehill has to operate back there? They need him to stay healthy and to be available this year.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, you got to try to keep Tannehill upright. And as you said, to have a little bit of time to deliver the football. And yeah, that's the thing. I mean, it wasn't like he had an all-pro season last year, Petit Frere, as a rookie, but you're counting on that experience and making that jump from year one to year two to be an effective player, for a group of offensive linemen that's been retooled and some veteran guys that have been mainstays for you that aren't there anymore. So, yeah, this just feels like a big setback for that offensive line. But who knows? Maybe you plug in one of these other guys and they play just fine and they get you through those six games and Petit Frere comes back and everything's okay. But that is a big chunk of the season to be without one of your starters.
Got a texture that says, if it's not injuries, it's suspensions. LOL, Vrabel is going to quit in two or three seasons if this keeps up. It's from an unnamed texter on the text line. I can't imagine that Mike Vrabel is overly excited about what went down yesterday.
No, I can't imagine that was a very good conversation if he talked to Petit Frere. Like you say, he may have already known about it.
It's
like this may have been not exactly new news, but just news that got out yesterday. So I don't see Vrabel quitting, though.
I think it's going to be fine.
Did I see yesterday, you see these little clips scroll by, what do you have, like 12 catches or 20 catches in the NFL, and they were all for touchdowns. I did not realize he didn't have a single catch that wasn't a touchdown.
He's a pass-catching touchdown machine. That
well,
Mike
that might be what the Titans need.
There's
you know?
The stat. I think he had 10 career touchdowns, which is more than the entire Titans receiving room combined right now.
Which, when I saw that stat, I was just like, there's no way. I can't believe that's true.
Send him out there. Look, Taylor. I saw Taylor. First ever
playing coach in the NFL?
I've seen Dennis Kelly catch a touchdown pass in a Titan uniform.
I forgot about that.
If they can do it,
he got more than one.
No, exactly.
Yeah, I think Kelly did catch like two or three.
Yeah. If I remember right, I think Kelly did. I was at some of those games.
Yep. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have more on the Titans coming up next. Look ahead to this season, how this impacts the team on the field, and get Kevin's thoughts on what he thinks about the 2023 version of the Tennessee Titans. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 7:05 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds taking on the Memphis Redbirds, the AAA affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals. Sounds Baseball 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Robbie Stanley, Kevin Ingram, David Janes here with you on this Friday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. We'll have Jared Stillman coming up at 7 o'clock. So looking forward to that.
Do we have time to set up the debate?
Yeah.
Was Stillman coming on?
Yeah, Mark's driving in right now. Get this debate going. Will from Nashville.
I'll moderate if you want me to.
I would love that.
Okay.
Will from Nashville on the text line says, just tuned in. Great to hear from Ingram. Was a huge fan of his show with Mark Howard and hated to see them go. Ingram's a total class act. Kevin, big Vanderbilt fan. Appreciate your Commodore report and radio work. It's all excellent. Robbie, have him do some impressions. Patino was always a classic. You are an impression master.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. A basketball team's coming together at St. John's. We got about 16 new players.
I think Coach K might be my favorite. Coach K is good.
Well, that's a good time for basketball. I'm retired.
David's just lost it behind the screen over there.
That was so good. I love that so much.
Coach K is unbelievable.
I just want to say how much empathy I have for the kids. Their moment of exaltation, so to speak.
We're going to have David's not
basketball.
Breathing back there. Oh, just beautiful.
The key word with Krzyzewski is basketball.
Basketball, yeah. Miss that guy, kind of.
I do miss that guy.
Just a little bit.
The thing is, I knew I would miss that guy, too.
I know you would.
Because a few years ago, he had that whole thing where he's going to go coach the Lakers or something in the NBA. It's like, no, man, I don't want Coach K to, I'm not the biggest Duke fan in the whole world, but I want Coach K in college basketball. He is college basketball.
I know it. I mean, I say Coach K is my favorite. I think Plaster might
John
actually be
Shire's
my favorite.
Doing a fantastic job coaching our basketball team.
Hey, now, hang on a second.
Now, just hold on a minute.
Robbie, if you don't think I know what's going on over there at the game, I worked there for a long time.
I've looked forward to this all week long.
He's delivered yet again.
He's delivered yet again. 615-737.
Robbie on a car phone.
615-737-1025. Alex Doherty, our friend from Penalty Box Radio. I can't explain how incredible it is to be listening to Kevin Ingram during morning hours of Nashville radio again. So lots of love for Kevin Ingram so far on the program here today.
They might not be saying that when 8 o'clock rolls around here.
So
this is my good hour.
That's right. 6 is your time to shine, baby. So, Kevin, heading into this season, obviously, we've talked about the division and the landscape of that and what that looks like in Jacksonville and all those things. But what are your impressions of the Titans, the moves that they've made, the roster that they currently have, and I guess more than anything, the direction that they're now heading? With Rand Carthon coming in, they've drafted Will Levis to be the quarterback of the future. We'll see what happens on that front. You have Tannehill and Henry on expiring deals. You had the Kevin Byard situation this offseason, asking him to take a pay cut. So it does feel like a changing of the guard to some degree is on the way with the Tennessee Titans. So what do you make of where this franchise currently is and where they're heading under Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel moving forward?
Yeah, I can't decide where I feel like they are as far as the making a playoff run window being open or closed. It feels like to me that window is kind of edging on down toward the bottom a little bit and closing up. And again, I think the defense is good enough for this group to keep them in games. I mean, you got some veteran guys who are really good, and Byard is one of those guys. But I think the offensive side of the ball, you just have so many question marks. Can Tannehill get enough time to deliver the football, and who's going to catch the football? And you got some guys who are capable. I think Chigakonkwo can be a good player for him, and it, you know, show him certainly the promise there. But, you know, can you develop those receivers? Can they get DeAndre Hopkins? Can they make that happen? It feels like it's been quiet since he made the visit here, and everything seemed to go really well when he was here. But talk about him going to New England. You know, there are some other teams in the mix. Are the Titans really a contender to get him? And you think about DeAndre Hopkins. You think about the times he came in here to Nissan Stadium and put on a show playing for the Houston Texans. It's like, good grief, get that guy on our team. Maybe it might make a difference. But and again, are they going to have to spend some of that money on an offensive lineman? I feel like all those are questions. But you know, in a league where you have to have an elite quarterback in passing game if you really want to win big. I mean, you look at the teams that have won big, and you talk about the Chiefs and even the Bengals and their rise with Joe Burrow over the last few seasons, and Buffalo Bills the same way. I mean, those are the teams, and those are going to be the teams. We talked about the Chargers coming here. Same thing. Big arm quarterback. You got to have that passing game if you're going to be successful. So can they make all those pieces fit together and make it happen?
And as you've said, I mean, Ryan Tannehill is going to be the starter this year as long as he's healthy and as long as the Titans are competitive. But they have drafted Will Levis long-term, and you've seen a lot of Will Levis, obviously, over the last couple of years at Kentucky. It was a very, I guess, controversial is probably the right word, pick for the Titans of moving up in the second round to go get him. We saw him drop out of the first round. Obviously, a lot of Vanderbilt fans around here, a lot of Tennessee fans around here. They've seen a lot of Will Levis, have varying opinions on what he is and what he could be at the NFL level. What did you make of the Will Levis pick by the Titans?
I will say I liked Will Levis a whole lot better in the second round than I did if they had traded up and got him toward the top of the first round. That was one of my fears, was that they were going to spend too much capital and trade up and get him early in the first round when he was certainly gettable later on. I think he could be a good NFL quarterback. You see some of the good and you've seen some of the bad of him, and he had some terrific games at Kentucky. He had a really nice career with the Wildcats. But then think about a cold Saturday in Lexington when Vanderbilt went up there and our guys put the pressure on him, and he did not have a good game that day. So, yeah, you've seen the ups and downs of a guy who was overall a really good college quarterback. I have no idea what he's going to be at the NFL level, but I was okay with them picking him in the second round. I would not have been as okay with them taking him up higher in the first round. You draft an offensive lineman in the first round, it's not going to get everybody all super excited and fired up. But those things, people have mentioned Mark Howard. Mark would always say those offensive linemen, they're like blue chip stocks. You draft them and they take care of you for a lot of years, and I feel like that's a pick that could do that for the Titans.
Well, let me tell you this. It's really good that they did that now, that they drafted a first-rounder offensive line, because you just lost an offensive lineman for the first six games. So that Skoronski pick, and first off, I think he's going to be pretty good. We'll see what happens on that front. But that pick is looking better to me now that Nicholas Petit-Frere is going to be missing the first six games. So I've asked a lot of people this over the last 3 weeks, and I'm interested to get your thoughts on it. The writing looks like it's on the wall for Tannehill in terms of his contract and Will Levis and all those things. Derrick Henry is going to be 30 coming up, and he's been incredibly productive. Yeah, it's crazy. He's been incredibly productive. I would expect him to have another good year this year. Until he doesn't have a good year, that's what I expect him to do out there with the way that he plays the game and how good he is. Kevin Byard is under contract beyond this year, so he's the only one of these three that is actually under contract beyond these three, but the Titans did approach him to take a pay cut this past offseason. You know, he said all the right things. I would imagine that conversation has probably upset him to some degree as well. So of those three, who do you think is the most likely to be with the Tennessee Titans beyond this next season?
I would say Kevin Byard.
That's been the most popular answer.
I would say if you polled 100 people, that might be the answer. The mayor of Murfreesboro has been fantastic in that secondary for several years now. Derrick Henry might be more of a sentimental pick. He's when the Titans have the lead and are able to just hand the ball to him and let him go to work, even when they don't, aren't playing from ahead, he's just been fun to watch, and watching just batter people over the years and run off and leave people. The thing about him, he's in such amazing physical condition. You know what you're going to get every year out of him, but you got to find situations where you can use him most effectively. I like throwing him the football a little bit more. And you remember, that was a knock on him back earlier in his career, the pass-catching part of it. But it feels like he's improved in that area over his time here. 349 for 1,500 yards last season and 13 touchdowns. And you're talking about a guy who's rushed for a whole bunch more than that during some of his years here.
Yeah, that was a down year.
Yeah, that was a down year, exactly. And but it feels like he has more left in the tank. But there's a part of me, too, that says, you know, could you flip him into some draft picks? Or, you know, what might be the best way to make use of him, whether it's here or it's you know, building up some capital for the future? I don't really know what the answer is to that.
Oh, and it's like I said. I mean, he's 29 now, and he'll be 30, I believe, in either late December, early January of next year. So, traditionally, you look at a running back and they turn 30, and you're like, well, it looks like the end may be coming.
Yeah.
I understand that, I really do, and I think that's probably, generally speaking, the best way to operate. There is a little part of me though that wonders, like, Derrick Henry's been a different dude his whole life, and I wonder how much longer he can play. Like, if he runs. Let's say the Titans' offensive line is better and he goes, you know, he carries the ball 320 times this year and he runs for 1,600 yards. Like, that's going to be pretty tempting to keep him around, sure. I think, after that. Wouldn't it be if you're the Titans?
It is. But you also look around the NFL and it's such a passing league that it feels like the running backs are more interchangeable than ever these days. And you can find people to play that position and probably pay them a whole lot less and use that money in other spots. But there's also that sentimental part of, man, like, Derrick Henry's been so fun to watch here for so long.
Yep. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Jared Stillman. We'll get his thoughts on the Nicholas Petit-Frere situation, the Tennessee Titans, and his thoughts on the Nashville Predators draft as well. That coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.